the whole issue of sexual harassment in the workplace, the discrimination against women, creating a hostile work environment. These issues are very important issues. They're very legitimate issues that are a concern to me and every legislator. But the issue involving Mr. Shooter, I think, is bigger than just Mr. Shooter. And that's why I was concerned about the process that we were following, because we're setting a precedent, and I think it's important that if we're going to take this really drastic, extreme step of expelling a legitimately elected representative, a duly elected representative from Yuma, if we're going to take this very drastic step, we need to be sure what we're doing. We need to be sure that the process is transparent and fair to all people, and not just fair today in the sort of the heat of battle, or you know, with this what I would call hysteria is probably too strong of a word, but there certainly is a very politicized and emotional discussion going on around the issues of sexual harassment and workplace, you know, hostility in the workplace, that type of thing. So I wanted to take a step back. I wanted to follow due process. I wanted to follow a very transparent legal procedure so that somebody looking at this a year from now or 20 years from now will see that we took very deliberate and measured steps. There is a 70-some-odd page report, and it details allegations from a number of sources. I believe there were basically seven women making multiple, having multiple anecdotes, if you will, or multiple issues. Some of them were very minor. Some of them were quite serious. I want to emphasize, though, that nothing Mr. Shooter was accused of doing was illegal. There's no criminal aspect to this case, nor has anybody, to my knowledge, filed any kind of a complaint against him with the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission or anything of that sort. He's simply accused, and it's big enough. I mean, I say simply accused, but I don't mean to minimize it. But he's accused of violating House policy in terms of making statements, and in some cases, rather suggestive behavior towards mostly female, but there was one male who was involved. That's the extent of it. But there's nothing illegal involved with this. So Ms. Eugenta Rita brought up some allegations. I forget if there were four or five of them, but there were several of them. That span the last 7 or 8 years. They date back to 2011 when Mr. Shooter was in the Senate. So that's one issue about, you know, how relevant is this to what we're doing today and what Mr. Shooter is doing today, and how can I, as a freshman representative who was not there in 2011, or I think maybe only one or two of the allegations date from 2017, and they were not of the most serious ones that were investigated. Very difficult for me to rationalize reaching back. Why didn't the people who were in the legislature at the time address these things? These things were well known and talked about, I understand, because some of the members have been down there when these things happened, and they knew about them, and they talked about them. They just shrugged them off as being bad jokes, crude, vulgar jokes. And that's basically what the statements that he made were. They were crude, vulgar jokes that in retrospect maybe crossed the line. But there were people down there who were aware of this and took no actions, either in the Senate or in the House before this past week. So that was another issue for me. Why is this being dumped on us when other people, you know, there's sort of a retrospective judgment being made. Nobody was too upset about it at the time, but 5 years later, we're supposed to be so upset about it that we expel him.
So he's been expelled. What happens next?
Well, there's a couple of things that could happen. Number one, there is pretty, I think, accurate reports in the media You know, he was apparently escorted from the house by security. He did not clean out. He was not allowed to go to his office and clean out his office. His office is being, according to media reports, was being cleaned out by a House staff member. They were simply boxing up his personal effects. His pay stops as of February the 1st. I think his benefits, health benefits and so on, probably stop with the next pay period. And he is out. He has no standing whatsoever as a member of the state legislature. And that leaves the city of Yuma County. He represented Yuma County. That leaves Yuma County without representation until the county supervisors meet to select from a list of names, three names that will be provided to the county supervisors by the state precinct committeeman of that jurisdiction. So the precinct committeeman of the county send a list of three people who they are effectively nominating or finding eligible for appointment, and then the county supervisors make a selection. And that process can be very quickly. That process could happen within a week or two. But as of right now, Yuma does not have any representation. Well, they have their senator and their other representative, but they don't have any representation for Mr. Shooter. That seat is simply vacant. What else can happen? I think, and looking at this as a lawyer, that there may be a cause of action that Mr. Shooter could try to avail himself to the courts based on a violation of due process. And that was my big concern about what we did. There was virtually no due process in our vote and in the investigation. The investigation was commissioned by the Speaker of the House, and that was perfectly appropriate. He had a very reputable law firm conduct the investigation, and that's fine. And they then made findings and findings of fact, made assessments of the credibility of witnesses, and then made conclusions of law about whether something was a violation of the House policy or not. And they wrote up this 70-some-odd page report. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. I think that's an important first step in the process, but none of the statements that were made by witnesses were made under oath. Mr. Shooter did not have any opportunity to confront his witnesses, confront the witnesses against him, ask questions. And we as legislators who are voting ourselves, and as I say, their testimony or their statements were not under oath. So I find that a very serious violation of due process. I felt very, very uncomfortable as a legislator. I don't think I can delegate the responsibility to make findings to somebody else. I'm the one who votes. I'm the one that has to make the conclusions. And to do that, I need to hear from these witnesses, and I need to be able to assess their credibility independently. The Arizona legislature, you know, it's a separate branch of government. It has the right to regulate its own internal affairs, but it can't be arbitrary and capricious. There are fundamental principles of due process that I think the court would simply have to recognize. We can't be arbitrary and capricious. The legislator can't gang up on a legislature and expel them for reasons that are not meritorious. So I think there is some level of oversight that the legislature could well receive from the courts, and I think Mr. Shooter might avail himself to that. We both, I think, substantially agreed, because Noel and I discussed things, and we had discussed the matter with Shooter. And I will say that before the vote was taken on February the 1st, last Thursday, we expected that there would be a motion to discipline Mr. Shooter, that it would be a censure. Mr. Campbell and I had discussed a somewhat less severe form of discipline, namely a reprimand. We both agreed that his conduct was very, very inappropriate and offensive. You know, you simply can't condone some of the things that he said, or is at least alleged to have said. So Noel was prepared to do a reprimand. I would have probably gone along with a reprimand and put aside my due process considerations, because the consequences wouldn't have been nearly as severe as removal. But we got to the House on Thursday morning and found out that the Speaker had, who originally was going to propose a censure, had decided to expel him based on some alleged conduct by Mr. Shooter that Thursday morning. Well, again, this conduct was reported to us, but we had no way of independently verifying what it was. It wasn't anything that was in the report. So all this was sort of, off the cuff and presented to us without a lot of opportunity to investigate and come to independent conclusions on this. So, I felt that based on what I knew at the time, that the extreme remedy or consequence of expulsion was simply too severe to allow it to go forward without due process protections. And I think Noel agreed with me. On the floor, he spoke to his reasons, and it was simply that he didn't think the conduct rose to the level of expulsion, that he thinks the whatever consequence to Mr. Shooter for his allegedly highly inappropriate and offensive remarks should be left to the voters of Yuma. And I concur with that as well.